Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying the mind of Christ, thinking like Jesus. In this session, we'll be looking at John chapter 14 and verse 6. But let's read James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Look at the last one on that list, without hypocrisy, which means honesty, truth, integrity. In John 14:6, Jesus declared himself to be the truth. In the Amplified Version, Ephesians 4:15, it's translated, express the truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly. When you become a Christian, when he saves you by the blood of Jesus Christ, God declares you not guilty and adopts you into his family, and he makes an inherent change in you. He places the qualities of Christ in you. Think about a ship on the ocean, which is damaged and in danger of sinking. Everything is done to get that ship into port. Once docked, she's safe. But the ship is not yet sound, because repairs may take a long time. Jesus wants to make us both safe and sound. Justification gives us the first. Safety, sanctification gives us the other, soundness. Christ is doing the work of repairing us, making us sound for his service. And honesty is important to that process. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. Grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Dallas Willard, in his book, Revolution of Character, describes the biblical pattern of how Christ changes us. Vision. That's seeing what Christ wants us to look like. Intention. It's a decision to pursue what God wants for us. And means, those are the resources that God gives us. Let's start with a vision of what Jesus honestly looks like. What is the quality of honesty? Only Jesus can say, I am the truth. Only Jesus can place his integrity in you. Instead of saying, I want to be more honest, we need to be like Jesus. And that is possible because of the change he did in you. Think about honesty when it comes to your relationships with your spouse, your family, friends, or in the workplace. Honesty has the power to build trust in a relationship. Trust empowers relationships. Listen how Jesus is described in Matthew 7:29. He taught them as one having authority and not as one of the scribes. It was evident that he was living it. A young lady was soaking up the sun's rays on a Florida beach when a little boy in his swimming trunks carrying a towel came up to her and asked, do you believe in God? She was surprised by the question, but replied, why? Yes, I do. Then he asked her, do you go to church every Sunday? Then, again, her answer was yes. And then he asked, do you read your Bible and pray every day? Again, she said, yes. By now, her curiosity was very much aroused. The boy sighed with relief and said, will you hold my quarter while I go swimming? Yeah. It's important to understand what honesty is not. What is the opposite of honesty? There's a danger of comparing ourselves to other people when we try to evaluate our honesty. If you compare yourself to other people, you can start thinking, hey, I'm not doing that bad. What is the perversion of honesty? Some people think Some people speak the truth in a relationship in a way that destroys the relationship rather than building it. We're called to speak honestly, but in a spirit of love. Some people don't tell the truth. They just launch it like a guided missile into your life. Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." Let me give you a challenge regarding the Christ-like quality of honesty. First, tell the truth to God. 1 Chronicles 29:17. "I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy, I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you." Repentance is agreeing with God. The Bible says that I'm a sinner. I can say, "Nah, I'm not so bad. I'm better than my neighbor." You ought to hear the lies he tells. Listen, if I'm honest, I'll agree with God about my dishonesty. Second, tell the truth to yourself. It's easy to get to the place where we deceive ourselves about how hard we work, about how pure our motives are, how good we're eating, and no, don't say it, Pastor, about how much time we really spend with God, to name a few. And then third, tell the truth to others. How do you develop this in your relationships with others? First, by association. Spend time around people who will admit that they're not perfect but are pursuing this quality and are allowing Him to develop it in them. This is encouragement. By obedience. If you're struggling with a relationship, it's right on the top of your mind right now. Ask God for the courage to tell the truth and then take the risk. This is faith. One translation of Proverbs 26:23 reads, "Insincere talk that hides what you're really thinking is like a fine glaze on a cheap pot." By transparency, if you really want to build strong relationships, you have to let your weaknesses be seen. There's no other way. This is trust. We can impress from a distance, but we can only influence up close. And when we get up close, people see our warts and they see our mistakes. We don't like that, but we must let them get close. Ephesians 5:13 says, "All things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. And whatever makes manifest is light." This is why the Apostle Paul exhorts us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 25 to put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are all members one of another. You have a great day.